Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Forbes Sports Money Podcast. Sports, money, your two favorite things. Here's your host, Anthony DeMauro.
And happy Tuesday to each and every one of you. I'm Anthony DeMauro, and welcome to this NFL Draft special edition of the Forbes Sports Money Podcast on this April 27, 2016. And the NFL season has ramped, offseason rather, has ramped up. We are at the point of the NFL draft. Offseason workouts are already beginning. It's beginning to start to look like football. And we got a long way to go until, you know, training camp and until the preseason and a regular season game. But the NFL draft produces a rare excitement in terms of drafts. Now, I would compare the NBA draft as being exciting, but I think after the first couple of picks, it kind of loses its momentum, or the NFL draft, comparatively speaking, it kind of continues that intrigue and then excitement. I would say at least through the second round, I think people are really tuned in. In the third round, maybe they lose a little bit of interest, but it is able to go into those first 3 to 4 rounds and maintain our interest. If you are a casual football fan, I think you're interested in the NFL draft. I think it's exciting, and especially with this year in particular, only because we have seen a number of trades already happen and some moving and reshuffling in the top order of the draft, especially the top two picks, and teams really, really positioning themselves. And I think it shakes up the draft so much that now there's a lot of speculation that the moving and shaking isn't done. And I am one of those people that agree wholeheartedly that the trades are far from over. And we're going to get to that in a second. And I got to say, I'm excited. I'm really excited just because it's a lot of banter to talk about. You have a lot of excitement along with these prospects. And I think it breathes new lives and hopes into the fan base and an otherwise kind of downtrodden time of year. It's the off season. You're ready to move on to the next season. But this gives you a little glimpse into the future. And hopefully if these prospects, you know, can stay healthy, can stay on the right path and not go down a Johnny Manziel type of road, and the coaches develop them correctly, then you could be looking at a game-changing prospect in any of these people in the first couple of rounds. And that's the beautiful thing. Millions of mock drafts. They're not hard to find, folks. You just go in and Google NFL mock draft, and everyone is on their first, their eighth, their 10th, maybe their 20th mock draft. And there's going to be a couple more coming out within the next 24 hours. But any of these prospects can end up, and I'm talking from the first round all the way to the seventh round, can turn out to be a game-changing prospect. So that's where it makes things exciting. And I saw the Eagles moving up. I reported that a couple weeks ago that the Eagles were interested in moving up to either the first overall pick, which they coveted, or the second overall pick. And it's very, very reminiscent of last year when Chip Kelly was running the show in Philadelphia, when he wanted Marcus Mariota and he was trying to trade up into that number two spot, sometimes the number one spot overall, in order to get him. It did not work out. Kelly, of course, he's on to San Francisco, but the Eagles moving up and getting that coveted number two pick to select a quarterback. So we know that trade was pretty much completed. Before that, the first trade of the offseason, in regards to the draft, included the Miami Dolphins and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Dolphins are dropping down from number 8 to number 13, exchanging pick positions with the Eagles. The Eagles got that number 8 pick, turned it into a trade right after that with, respect of moving up with the Cleveland Browns right there to the second overall pick. But the Dolphins dropped down to 13. They picked up Kiko Alonso in the trade. They picked up Byron Maxwell in the trade. Now, whether you're a fan of it or you're not, on paper, regardless, it can't be judged until at least after the season to see how all things worked out. But the Dolphins feel they are going to come away with the first round with three starters. And if you think about it in that perspective, in that mindset, you can kind of agree with the thinking right there. Hey, we moved down 5 spots. We're going to get a starter in the first round, and we added 2 more starters to your team. And let's face it, the Dolphins have a lot of holes. The Eagles wanted more ammunition to move up. They wanted more ammunition to get into those top couple of spots. So it accomplished a lot of goals for both teams. But that's two trades down. And we haven't even, you know, let's face it, the draft hasn't even started. Roger Goodell has not come up to the podium at any point right now and said the Los Angeles Rams are officially on the clock. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened. And yet we have two trades down. So you're crazy to think something else isn't going to go down. Now, is it going to go down in the 24 hours leading up to the draft? I would like to say yes. I would like to say yes because it gives team it's idealistic because it gives teams a lot of time to, you know, kind of plan out what's going on. And of course, I see the other flip side of that. If teams just waiting to see how the draft shakes out, maybe the first five picks before moving, making their move, seeing what prospects are gone, because you'd hate to be that team that moves, I don't know, from number 16, and I'm just throwing numbers out there, number 16 and number 6 to get a specific prospect, and he ends up going in the top 5, and you're sitting there holding the bag on a trade you for one player that isn't there. So you see, it's a dangerous game to play, folks. You got to make sure you have your draft board and all of your insight, if you're an NFL team, up to snuff. Because if you make a wrong move, it could be costly, not only in wasting a first-round pick, but wasting additional picks and moving up to get that particular prospect. So it's a game of chess right now, and it's very intriguing. We're going to get a ton of rumors posted all the time, folks, all the time. Get ready. You're going to get immersed in NFL draft for the next couple of days, and I love it. I love geeky stuff like this. I mean, I don't know how many of you play Madden on your Xbox One or your PlayStation 4. I'm one of them. I love playing Madden, but my favorite part is the off-season, getting draft picks, accumulating them, looking over prospects, making my moves to build my team. That gets my juices flowing. So I'm particularly excited for this geeky stuff right here. And especially if you're a football fan, if you're a beat writer, if you're a blogger, if you're a podcaster, whatever the case may be, you have your notepad out and you're writing down prospects. You're going straight to YouTube to look at highlight films. You're making your assessment. You're debating it with other people. You're going on Twitter. You're discussing the picks. And then you talk about what's next. This is going to be a trending NFL draft, folks. This is going to be a trending NFL draft. And there's going to be a lot of surprises, maybe like the surprise we saw in Game of Thrones with Melisandre right there at the end of the credits. Maybe something shocking as that, maybe not as scary and shocking as that, but something as shocking could be happening. But I just spoiled your Game of Thrones. I offer no apologies. It is Thursday. If you didn't see it by now, your own damn fault. So go watch Game of Thrones, and we'll get to that in a second. But before I start my NFL mock draft here on the Forbes Sports Money Podcast, I do want to share. Go on over to Forbes.com/sportsmoney. And I'm going to tell you, if you guys want different perspective, different draft analysis, I strongly urge you to go over to Forbes.com/sportsmoney. We're going to have a litany of articles hammering out. And I'm not talking about, you know, crazy little nuance articles you're reading everywhere else. It's going to have a different, fresh perspective. I know some folks over at Forbes Sports Money are doing team-specific mock drafts. There is some talk about Tom Brady's four-game Deflategate suspension. A lot of talk on there. I know Darren Heitner, a contributor over there, Maury Brown, they both have articles up there about, you know, Maury's got the one, how Deflategate ruling actually helps the business of Tom Brady. So he takes a different perspective in that aspect that, it's actually going to help Tom Brady. So with that being said, there's another article up by Darren Heitner talking about the four-game Deflategate suspension ruled an appropriate sanction by the Second Circuit. So he kind of gives a breakdown of what actually happened on with Tom Brady's suspension. So go on over to Forbes Sports Money Podcast, and you guys are going to have pretty much your full guide of NFL knowledge, anything from the draft to the Tom Brady. And I'm going to say, folks, you get your full access to all the information you are looking for, not just in the NFL, but in the NBA and in the NHL and all sports and business alike. Once again, that's Forbes.com/sportsmoney. You can easily go on over on Twitter @sportsmoneyblog. And of course, follow us at Forbes Podcast and me at Anthony DeMauro. Definitely looking forward to seeing you guys follow there. And as we do in each and every episode, folks, if you've tuned into any of the prior 10 episodes of the Forbes Sports Money Podcast, this is episode number 11. But if you've tuned into any prior 10 episodes, you know I answer your questions. Tweet them over to me at Anthony DeMauro. Give at Forbes Podcast a follow and ask me your sports-related question. Give me something good to work with. If it makes the show, you get your question answered and you get an on-air shout-out. There's still plenty of time to do that. We got a whole mock draft to get through, trades included. So let's get rolling. And let's get going on my mock draft here on the Forbes Sports Money Podcast. Number one, the Los Angeles Rams. This is no secret. Jared Goff will be the pick, the quarterback out of California. This is a great pick for them. It gets them the franchise quarterback they've been long looking for. Now, we can sit here and debate why Jeff Fisher is still the lead guy here for any football franchise. He's been an absolute atrocious failure. He can build the defense okay, but he's been terrible. And he hasn't had a great track record in drafting quarterbacks. And I know there's a lot of excuses being attached to Jeff Fisher, particularly in Tennessee with drafting Vince Young. That was a little bit more of an organizational ownership decision. But still, he's the man that's had to bear the burden of those picks, and they have not been good. They have not been good. Now, they like both Goff and they like Carson Wentz, but they like Goff's ability to maneuver in the pocket, more extensive playing experience at a higher level, and I think that gives them the edge here. So they're going to take Goff, I believe, with the first overall pick, and they're going to be crossing your fingers, Rams fans, that Jeff Fisher doesn't screw this up even more than he screwed up everything else with the Rams. Remember, this team was on the cusp a couple of seasons ago, was making that big step forward, and Jeff Fisher has just poo-pooed everything. The guy's terrible, folks. I think he's absolutely terrible. So his record indicates that. You are, and you know that old saying, you are what your record says you are? That's Jeff Fisher. So I don't want to hear anybody out here, Jeff Fisher apologist, saying, oh, he did this, he's well-trusted, he drafts well, he puts garbage product on the field. And I'm not saying the Rams are garbage, folks. His coaching is garbage, and he cannot lead a team with plenty of talent over the cusp. He got an otherworldly running back in Todd Gurley. He's got a great defense stacked against him. And even with that, some teams can even slide into the playoffs. They can slide into the playoffs. The Eagles had success with Nick Foles. Jeff Fisher can't have success with Nick Foles. The Jets managed to have success with Mark Sanchez. Jeff Fisher can't have any success with Mark Sanchez. And you can make your gripes about those quarterbacks, and I will agree with them. But when one team has success with those level of quarterbacks and it goes on to a team either equally or more talented than the team prior that they were on, you have to start looking at the coaching. And I don't want to turn this into a big Jeff Fisher bash fest, but I'm not speaking anything out of term of what I believe most NFL fans, I believe Titans fans, and I believe Rams fans all have the same gripe about Jeff Fisher. So let us hope that, you know, the Rams, who made this big jump up, paid a king's ransom to get in the number one pick, they aren't handcuffed by the inept coaching of Jeff Fisher. So we're going to move on to the second overall pick. And the Philadelphia Eagles, who made a bold move, they traded up, made two trades to get to this spot. And like I said at the start of the show, they started off in the 13th position, jumped up to number eight to take Miami's pick, and then turned that into another trade with the Cleveland Browns to move up to the second overall pick to get the quarterback of their choice. Now, it's not really their choice. They're going to take whatever quarterback the Rams don't take. So since the Rams, in my mock, have taken Goff, the Philadelphia Eagles go with Carson Wentz, the quarterback out of North Dakota. Now, they won 10 playoff games in 8 years after selecting Donovan McNabb with the number two overall pick in the 1990 draft, and have zero playoff wins since McNabb's departure. So new coach Doug Peterson, he wants to recreate the Andy Reid era, and this is the guy they want to stake their future to. So the Eagles get Carson Wentz, the quarterback out of North Dakota State. He's going to be the pick. Now, number three, this is where things get a little interesting, and believe me, folks, there's going to be some moving and shaking, and this is where mock drafts get kind of turned upside down. Now, Jalen Ramsey, this would be the pick right here, right? I say no. I say the San Diego Chargers go after Laremy Tunsil, the offensive tackle of Ole Miss. Now, why would I be saying that? Because you have Phillip Rivers, who has been absolutely brutalized in that pocket over the past couple of years. Hell, past several years. Now you can take a Jalen Ramsey, and he would add, you know, you had a departing Eric Weddle. You boost the secondary, yes, but you're still getting your franchise quarterback hit. Now, if you keep Phillip Rivers upright, you have a shot, folks. That's why Laremy Tunsil will be the pick. You pick for your franchise quarterback right here. You pick for Phillip Rivers, and that's what the Chargers are going to do right here. Laremy Tunsil is going to pay two players dividends right there. Melvin Gordon, who did not have the rookie season a lot of people, myself included, projected him to have, and he's going to help Phillip Rivers in that passing game. So Laremy Tunsil will be the pick right here, which leads me to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, for every mock draft I have read up until this point, they have been slated at taking a Joey Bosa, basically a pass rusher here. And that makes a ton of sense. But seeing the Chargers pass on Jalen Ramsey for Laremy Tunsil lets Jalen Ramsey fall into the Dallas Cowboys lap. Now, there's an argument going around. Is Ramsey a cornerback? Is he a safety? You know, he has great talent coming out of Florida State. Regardless, the Cowboys have a need in the secondary, and Jalen Ramsey is that guy you select right here. So number four, I see the Dallas Cowboys selecting Jalen Ramsey, the cornerback out of Florida State. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be next on the clock, and I'm going to get a lot of stuff on Twitter probably regarding this pick that I made, simply because I think there's a lot of people who have their draft boards with this. You know, it's funny to me, you know, draft boards, you know, they switch around, you know, it's one guy can, one prospect can be in the top five pick, and then 2 weeks later, for no reason, and we're talking after the combine, for no reason, he can drop down to number 15. He can go to number 16. He can go to number somebody from 23. He can go up to number 7 overall prospect pick. And this is a player I feel has done that. You know, Miles Jack is going to be the pick here for the Jacksonville Jaguars, inside linebacker out of UCLA. Now, there's been some reports coming out about his knee, and a lot of people are like, oh, okay, he might drop out of the first top 10 picks. I don't see that happening. I think Jacksonville is a team, let's face it, they've been bold this offseason. They like to take risks. He's arguably the best athlete in the draft. He's great at coverage. He's good in space. He's a playmaker. The Jaguars need a playmaker. And they need Paul Posluszki to get off the field on third down. This is what the Jaguars are planning. For Jack to eventually take over that middle linebacker spot and be that defensive leader, you make that pick right here. So with the fifth overall pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're going to take Miles Jack, the linebacker out of UCLA, which leads me to the Baltimore Ravens. Now the Ravens, they're kind of, you know what they're going to do here. I think everybody has a similar mock draft in terms of the Ravens. I think you'll see more consistency between the mock drafts with the Baltimore Ravens pick than most teams that are going to be on the board. But for these purposes, I have the Baltimore Ravens selecting DeForest Buckner, the defensive end out of Oregon. Now, I know what you're going to say. There's a lot of need on that offensive line for the Ravens, but the Ravens are a defensive team. They've always made their hay, they made their money, they make their mark, they built their reputation around solid defense. Solid defense. Now you can argue, is this a bigger need? Is this a need at all? But they need a playmakers on both offense or defense. Now it's two now with Laremy Tunsil off the board, you could say, hey, what about Ronnie Stanley? Absolutely. But I think the Ravens, they love defensive playmakers, and DeForest Buckner, he can be that guy for them. I really think he could be that guy. And let's face it, Buckner has been projected as a top three, top four pick in most mock drafts. He falls down right there. I think it's kind of like a Leonard Williams situation with the Jets last season. He falls a little far. He falls into your lap. You take him, and that's what happens right here. The Baltimore Ravens are going to get DeForest Buckner. And this guy, he's a run stuffer, an interior pass rusher. He's going to be great for Baltimore, and I think this is a great addition for the Baltimore Ravens, who are once again building that defense to elite status, and I think this is a player to help them do that. All right, I just tweeted it. We have our first big trade of the NFL draft, my mock version, and the Miami Dolphins are the ones making this trade. They're going to make this trade with the San Francisco 49ers, swapping The 13th pick and for the 7th pick, I'm imagining maybe a third is going to be thrown in there either this year or next year, and maybe a 6th or 7th to top it off. But I see the Dolphins making the move up with the San Francisco 49ers. And with that pick, they're going to take Ezekiel Elliott, the running back out of Ohio State. It's no secret the Dolphins absolutely love Elliott. And let's be realistic again, too. The two teams I see as the biggest threat, I know there's been some rumbling about the Cleveland Browns selecting a running back. They're viable as well. But I think the more viable and the more realistic threats to selecting Elliott are the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears. The Bears absolutely love Ezekiel Elliott. The Giants have a need right there. They have a need all over the board. So they're kind of a wild card right here. But the Cleveland Browns are also in the mix. So if you're the Dolphins, you're talking with the San Francisco 49ers about a trade up. And they get it done here, and they get the man that they want, Ezekiel Elliott, running back out of Ohio State. Which leads me to my next pick with the 8th overall pick. The Cleveland Browns select Ronnie Stanley out of Notre Dame, offensive tackle. Let me tell you, Browns fans, you're going to be happy with this pick. They don't get Goff. They don't get, you know, they're not going to get Wentz. They could have stayed and got Wentz, but they clearly liked Goff. They moved down. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Ronnie Stanley is legit. He's actually moving up around Laramie Tunsil. He's one of those players that have been ascending in mock drafts. So you get somebody there to build around in the future. You got RG3 trying to reboot his career right there. You lost Joe Thomas. You took some major hits on that offensive line throughout the offseason. This alleviates some of that loss, some of that pain. Ronnie Stanley, Notre Dame offensive tackle going to the Browns at number 8. At number 9, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to go Vernon Hargreaves, the 3rd, the cornerback out of Florida. And let me tell you something. The Bucs can go a number of directions here. They had a fantastic draft. A fantastic draft last year. So Hargreaves is perhaps the best cover corner in the draft. He's got great ball skills. You may not love his size, but he's an aggressive type of corner. He's got, the only knock on him, I think, is his size. But I think he's going to fit in with the Buccaneers. A lot of people could say, hey, what about Joey Bosa right here? I don't know. I think Hargreaves right there can be the pick. I think he's going to be the pick, and I think he's going to fit in great. So once again, Vernon Hargreaves, the 3rd to the Bucs at 9 overall in the draft. At number 10, speaking of Joey Bosa, this is where he goes, the New York Giants. Joey Bosa, defensive end at Ohio State, who was once projected as a top 4 pick going to the Dallas Cowboys forever. I see him dropping in this draft, and I see him going to the Giants. At number 10, the Giants have a whole bunch of needs. Running back could be one of them, which is why I think if Ezekiel Elliott was right here, that is where he would get drafted. He won't be there with the Dolphins trade. So I see Joey Bosa falling into the Giants' lap. They can't be happier. And with the unclear future, Jason Pierre-Paul, they need a pass rusher. I think this is a great, 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 great selection and a good prospect for them to start building around for the future. At number 11, the Chicago Bears, again, they don't have Ezekiel Elliott on the board, so they're going to take Shaq Lawson, the defensive end out of Clemson. He's a versatile pass rusher. He tallied 12.5 sacks and 25.5 tackles for loss against elite competition in 2015. Plays a 5 technique or stand up on the outside. He has a high character, air individual. The Bears love that. And let's face it, the Bears struggled last season, especially when generating pressure. So Shaq Lawson is a great pick for them right here. And that is the Chicago Bears will be taking in the 11th pick in the 2016 NFL draft. Wow, I just felt like Roger Goodell right there announcing this. At number 12, the New Orleans Saints get Sheldon Rankins, a defensive tackle out of Louisville. They have needs all over defense. They finished 31st in rushing and passing defense last year and set the NFL record for most touchdown passes around. Rankins is the best defensive player available at this point. He can play, he's versatile. He can play both defensive tackle spots. The Saints run a 4-3. Rankins has proven to be effective in a 4-3 defense. He can rotate with John Jenkins and Nick Fairley. He can help as a pass rusher. He can help as a run defender. Had 14 sacks over his last 2 seasons with Louisville. This is the pick right here. So the New Orleans Saints, Sheldon Rankins, number 12, defensive tackle out of Louisville. At number 13, since the Dolphins traded up and swapped first-round picks with the San Francisco 49ers, this puts the 49ers in a great position to take a stud player right here. I know a lot of players, people are going to be like, hey, what about offensive line? I think they're going to get Laquon Treadwell right here. Now, he's been a player that has been ascending on a lot of people's draft boards. He's all over the place, really. Laquon Treadwell will be the pick. He's a huge target. A lot of people have him kind of dropping on the, you know, due to his 40 time. He kind of dropped on the draft. But, dude, this guy's size 6'2", 221. I think he can definitely be a big asset right here, and he's perfect for San Francisco. Whether they hold on to Colin Kaepernick and move forward with him, or they end up trading Colin Kaepernick, they're going to have a rookie wide receiver to develop and end up taking over as the dominant receiver on that team. And either a new quarterback or an existing quarterback is going to feel very, very happy having Treadwell on the outside to throw balls to, and that is going to be the pick for the San Francisco 49ers. At number 14, the Oakland Raiders are going to take Reggie Ragland, the inside linebacker out of Alabama. Now, they solidified their pass rush in the pass defense free agency. Now they're going to address the run defense. Ragland is a thumper, folks. Middle linebacker. He's a great need, fills a great team need. The Oakland Raiders have been on the ascension the past couple of seasons. And they, you know, I got to say this right now. Ragland is going to be a hell of a pick for the Raiders, and he's going to pay huge dividends. And I think this is a smart pick, and the Raiders are going to take – Ragland is going to be a great addition for them and then help that run defense. And they're going to have a nasty defense in Oakland, and Ragland is going to be a big part of that, and that's who I see them taking with the 14th overall pick in the 2016 NFL Draft. At number 15, the Tennessee Titans will try to trade up but will not be able to do so. They're going to stay put right here, and let's face it right here. It's a win-win situation if they stay put or they move up. But either situation, they're addressing the offensive line. And with this pick, they take Jack Conklin, the offensive tackle out of Michigan State. Now, they would have loved to move up and had a shot at Tunsil. They would have loved to move up and have a shot at Stanley. Conklin brings a toughness. I think he's a great addition right here. And the hope is, I think the plan is, Taylor Lewan, Conklin, they protect those outside edges for a long time to come. You keep addressing that offensive line. You help out your young quarterback. You help out the new running back, DeMarco Murray. And you select Jack Conklin, the offensive tackle out of Michigan State, with the 15th overall pick. Number 16. Now, folks, 16 is going to be an interesting one. Very interesting, because you know why I'm pausing right here? I'm building it up. We're building it up right now because another team has made a big trade. Another team in my mock draft has moved up. And what team is that? It's the Kansas City Chiefs, who are reacting because Laquon Treadwell is off the board. They're going to fear a run on wide receivers is going to hit before them. So they are jumping all the way up, folks. They're jumping all the way up from the 28th pick to the 16th pick to select Corey Coleman, wide receiver out of Baylor. Now, bringing in Corey Coleman, not only does he add it, really good compliment to Jeremy Maclin and that passing offense, but they're adding another speedster in Corey Coleman. He ran the 40-yard dash in 4.37 seconds at his pro day. That helps. You know, Andy Reid, you know, he had a couple of speedsters in Philadelphia running that offense. They're going to be hard to cover downfield. So Corey Coleman, a lot of rack, I could see. Adding Corey Coleman right here, and a lot of people can argue about who your receiver is. Do they need a speed receiver? No, they need a possession receiver. Regardless, I see they take that offense and they put some more hydraulics on it. They get some boosters on it. They rev up that engine. They're giving it some super gas right now. So Corey Coleman will be the pick, the wide receiver out of Baylor for the Chiefs, who trade up, the second big trade in my mock draft. At number 17, the Atlanta Falcons. There's a number of, you know, they could go in a number of directions here. And they wouldn't be, you know, I don't see the Falcons. They're in a rare position right here, right? I just don't think they can go wrong with a lot of directions they can go. They can go secondary. They can go defensive line. They can go linebacker. They can get another playmaker on that offense. The pick right here will be Leonard Floyd, the outside linebacker out of Georgia. I mean, it's a great story. Hometown. He went to college to Georgia. Now he's playing in Atlanta. I think this could be it. You know, Floyd has high upside. He's a playmaker. He has great pass rush ability. And it'll allow the Falcons to be a little bit more aggressive on their blitz packages. I think Leonard Floyd will be a great pick here for Atlanta, and I think he can pay immediate dividends. And let's face it, the Falcons have not had a ton of luck with their linebackers in recent seasons. This guy hopefully will start steering in the right direction, and they've been drafting that way towards defense the past two seasons anyway. I think this is another addition, and they're going to start building a healthy pass rush right here for years to come. So Leonard Floyd is the pick, the outside linebacker out of Georgia to the Atlanta Falcons at number 17. Number 18, the Indianapolis Colts. Let's face it, regardless if you agree with my mock draft or not, they're going to go defense right here. And I think the pick is going to be Eli Apple, the cornerback out of Ohio State. You pair Apple with Pro Bowler Vontae Davis. Those are two solid cornerbacks, and which is going to help them make up for a lack of a pass rush. This allows them also to shift Patrick Robinson into the slot. So that's three quality players at that cornerback position. And then you can hopefully get some sort of pass rush help in the second round, third round, fourth round, and beyond. But right now I see Eli Apple being the pick at cornerback out of Ohio State to the Indianapolis Colts at number 18 in the 2016 NFL draft. Number 19, the Buffalo Bills. This is where I think the Bills are going to be bold here. Now, the Tyrod Taylor contract negotiations are certainly going to be a talking point right here when it comes to this pick, which is why I'm making this selection. With the 19th pick, the Buffalo Bills take Paxton Lynch, the quarterback out of Memphis. Now, he's another player that has been all over the draft board. And some people have them going as high as Cleveland. Other people have them drop into the New York Jets. But the Bills know if they pass on Lynch right here, the Jets will swap him up. And this is basically what it is. Lynch will not help them in 2016. So he's going to be able to sit back behind Tyrod Taylor. It allows you to work on a contract with him. And if you don't, then you hand the keys to Lynch afterwards. But this is a guy I could see 2-3 years down the road being the man under center for this team. And I think the Buffalo Bills, you know, let's face it, they could go defensive tackle right here. Jerron Reed could be a good pick right here. But I see them going after a quarterback with Paxton Lynch sitting right there. Or they're a team that could potentially be trading down or out of the first round and letting a team move up and make that pick of a quarterback. But they won't. They're going to try to block the Jets from doing it because I believe me, the Jets will take Paxton Lynch if he gets past the Bills. Now, speaking of the New York Jets, they have the 20th pick, the next pick in this draft. This is another prospect I think who has been all over the draft board, not just in the first round. He's either been out of the first round or in the first round, but I agree he's a first round draft pick, and the Jets desperately want a quarterback right here. They could be calling cornerback, but I think quarterback will be the pick. Christian Hackenberg, the quarterback out of Penn State, I think will be the pick right here. Been a lot of debate whether this guy is a true first round prospect, if he's worthy of a first round pick or not. I happen to think he is a late first round talent. I think he's good enough to sit behind on the bench for a little bit. Maybe you start him right away. I don't know what the Jets are going to do, but he's got a good defense to rely upon. He's got a decent enough onto offensive attack. He's got solid wide receivers. I think the Jets will go reach back out to Ryan Fitzpatrick at some point and try to bring him in. But I think Christian Hackenberg will be a great pick for them right here. I know Penn State's record doesn't jump off the page to you, so the winning percentage could be a little bit of a question. But I think Hackenberg will be the pick right here. At number 21, the Washington Redskins continue to address the defense. They're going to take Carl Joseph, the safety out of West Virginia. Now, they do want to improve their defensive line. But here's the thing. The defensive line is pretty deep in this draft, so you can wait to the second round. I think Carl Joseph, he's tough. He's a smart player. He has that nasty edge. He's got that chip on his shoulder. And let's face it, the addition of corner Josh Norman, this is great. This is great. It's an aggressive corner. They haven't seen or been able to fill that position since Sean Taylor passed away in 2007. This is a way to do it. Carl Joseph, the safety out of West Virginia, will be the pick at number 21 for the Washington Redskins. At number 22, it comes up to the Houston Texans. Now, the Texans, they're going to be a little miffed that Corey Coleman isn't on the board anymore. I think he would have been great compliment to DeAndre Hopkins as a true speedster. But right now, I think they're going to go Josh Doctson, the wide receiver out of TCU. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. And, you know, a lot of people have him going to the Bengals to replace kind of Marvin Jones right there. But let's face it right here. I like Doctson as the pick. It gives either way, the Texans are going to go wide receiver. So I think Doxson, and they're going to get the speedster of a 4.37 40-yard dash, but Josh Doxson has nothing to sneeze at either. He makes contested catches. He fights for extra yards. He's very much like a Jarvis Landry, and I think that'd be a great compliment to Houston, who is bringing in Brock Osweiler in free agency. You give him another target, and you know that defense is pretty much set. You added a running back and Lamar Miller in the offseason, and this is definitely going to be happening as well. You get a tough, hard-nosed possession receiver who could also break for big yards and a lot of rack, and that's why Josh Doxson will be the pick right here as they start to make their run on wide receivers. The next team to pick is the Minnesota Vikings. Where do they go, folks? Where do the Minnesota Vikings go? Because I got to say, it's going to be confusing here. It's going to be really confusing to see where this team goes. They have their number one guy off the board. They do. Laquon Treadwell would have been the pick right here, folks. But instead, they're going to take Will Fuller, the wide receiver out of Notre Dame. He's a speedster. That could really, really help them right here. Because let's face it, they took a shot on Mike Wallace last season in that trade with the Dolphins. It did not pan out. They want a speed receiver to help stretch the field. Can he be a true number one? I don't think so, but he definitely could be somebody that can be a utilizable weapon for Teddy Bridgewater, help spread the field, help take some pressure off of him, and that's why I think Will Fuller will be an exciting player in Minnesota once he gets rolling and they find they can go wide receiver in the second round and find somebody else to fill that number one slot, but I think this will be the pick for them right here at number 23. Number 24, the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, they're going to be a little bummed. They had Doxson on their board. They had Will Fuller on their board. They had Treadwell on their board. So where do they go right here? I think they go Mackenzie Alexander, the cornerback out of Clemson. You may be asking, why would they go at that pick right then and there? Now, he is a physical corner. He's got a chip on his shoulder. I think he could be good for them. And let's face it, the Bengals have taken some hits with their corner, their secondary. You know, they lost their defensive, their secondary coach, and Vance Joseph goes on to become the defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. And they lost, you know, Reggie Nelson's gone. Leon Hall is gone. You know, you have some loss right there. Adam Jones did resign, but let's face it, they're going to be looking towards the future. Mackenzie Alexander helps infuse some youth in that secondary. He gives that physical presence that I think the Bengals love, and I think he can definitely be the type of guy with that chip on their shoulder to help them build for the future. So I think the pick right here for the Cincinnati Bengals is Mackenzie Alexander, the cornerback out of Clemson. The number 25 pick belongs to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, where do they go? Because, hey, they're a team that definitely could use some help in a number. The secondary comes to mind right here. And easily they can go corner right here. But I love the idea of the Pittsburgh Steelers addressing their linebackers. I love it. I love the idea of doing that. And that's why I see the Pittsburgh Steelers selecting Darren Lee, the linebacker at Ohio State. And he's a significant addition. He ran a 4.47 40 time. Imagine that pass rushing capability in a Steelers defense. He's a very confident person. He's played in a 4-3 scheme, but he's got an ability to roam the field. He was a weak side linebacker in a 4-3 scheme. And this is a great pick for them. I think with the Steelers' ability to coach and develop prospects, I don't look at the scheme that Lee played in. I look at the talent this guy has, and I could see the Steelers moving him around the field, and I could see him doing some big, big things in Pittsburgh. And, you know, let's face it, adding him to that defense only helps, and that's why I think he's going to be the pick right here for the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 25. At number 26, the Seattle Seahawks, where do they go? Well, I think they get the address the offensive line. Jermaine Nfeedy, he's 6'6", 324, has 36-inch arms. And he began his college career at right guard and then switched to right tackle. He can play either right or left tackle in the NFL, and he can either play at guard. There's a lot of versatility with Nfeedy. So that's why I think Seattle, you know, they had some hits on that offensive line. I think they can move him around. anywhere on the line. He's not necessarily strictly a right tackle. He's not necessarily strictly a left tackle. He's played guard. You can move him a number of positions on that offensive line. The Seahawks are going to love that versatility. That's why I think he's the pick right here. And that'll lead me to my next pick, the Green Bay Packers, who have the 27th overall pick in the NFL draft. They're going to take A'shaun Robinson, defensive tackle, out of Alabama. Now, Robinson can play everywhere across the defensive line in the 3-4 system. He just turned 21 last month. He has a rare combination of strength, athleticism. B.J. Raji's unexpected hiatus from football created a gap right here. Robinson can fit there. Regardless, I could see the Packers going Andrew Billings. He could be a pick here, but I think the defensive line will be where the Packers select. Regardless if Robinson is there or not, that's going to be the pick. But in this case, and in my mock, A'shaun Robinson to the Green Bay Packers at number 27, which leads me to number 28 and a team that traded down. The Detroit Lions are going to be very happy with falls in their lap right here. Kevin Dodd, the defensive end out of Clemson. Great pick for them. Now they're going to want to pair somebody with Ziggy Ansah on that defensive line. Yeah, you could go to wide receiver right here, but I don't think there's any talent that is pressing at this point in the draft to force you to use a first-round pick. It's in a position you can address in the second round. I think Dodd is the pick right here. He a breakout year. He's coming off a tremendous breakout year in Clemson's 4-3 scheme. He dropped in this draft, so I think it's going to be amazing for the Lions, who traded down and still got a player that they might have selected at their prior pick. He had 23.5 tackles for loss, 12 sacks, and one forced fumble and one block kick last season. But I got to say, this is a huge, huge, huge pick for the Lions right here. And, you know, the loss of Megatron is going to loom over this team. But let's face it, folks. Let's face it. This is a team that needs to start addressing more of that defense and leaning more on it. Now, they've invested in it. I think having Kevin Dodd right there, perfect complement. This helps this team kind of stabilize the defense because you don't know what you're going to do with Matthew Stafford in the future. He could be, you could be rebuilding that whole offense next year. And I think it's better off. You try to address it in the second round, but you make it a first round priority next year because you're going to have a young defense to lean on. And that's why I see Kevin Dodd being the pick. Now, the Patriots would have had the number 29 overall pick, but that's forfeited. But number 30, the Arizona Cardinals will take Jerron Reed, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. Now, they could go Deion Jones right here. They could go Vernon Butler. But I think Reed will be the pick right here. I like the kid's upside. Let's face it right here. Reed is going to be somebody that's going to be able to fit them right in. A lot of mock drafts had him at number 19 to Buffalo. Some of them have him going to the Falcons as early as that. So him falling in this draft is going to be a big, big boon for the Cardinals. And I think, again, Deion Jones could be the pick right here. But I think, and in just my heart of hearts, I believe the Cardinals will go defensive line and get Jerron Reed. Now, number 31, the Carolina Panthers. Now, they need some secondary help with the departure of Josh Norman. They would have addressed that anyway. And they're hoping that Kevin Dodd would have fell right here, but he won't. But I'm going to go after Von Bell, the safety out of Ohio State. He's going to go to Carolina. He's got good coverage ability, and he can move around on multiple packages on the field. He's definitely somebody that can be kind of a ball hawk for the Panthers moving forward. So I see Von Bell being the selection, the safety out of Ohio State at number 31 than the Carolina Panthers, which leads me to the last pick. And my mock draft for 2016 in the first round, it's the Denver Broncos, taking Connor Cook, the quarterback out of Michigan State. Listen, it could be anybody. It really could be anybody. I think John Elway is dead set on taking a quarterback somewhere, and I think Cook will be that quarterback. Now, whether you like it or not, hey, you can't go into your season with your current depth chart as it is at quarterback. Take a shot at Connor Cook. See what he can do. Nothing to sneeze at. He's certainly maybe not the sexy pick you're hoping for, but it's number 32 overall pick in the NFL draft. I definitely think he's going to be a pick right here. Regardless, it could be any quarterback right now. So with that said, that wraps up my mock draft of the first round. I'm going to take a commercial break. There is still time to get in your question. So tweet me over at Anthony tomorrow. I'm going to address as many of them as humanly possible. After this commercial break, really quick, folks, it's literally a 30-second break. Just got to plug a couple things. And they're going to be right here on the Forbes Sports Money Podcast.
When it comes to getting noticed online, there's only one choice. Go Elite with Elite Rank Media's internet marketing services. Search engine optimization, social media, creative development, reputation management, and internet marketing services that can be a game changer for your business. Go Elite and bring your brand to the next level. Find out more and get a free consultation at EliteRankMedia.com or EliteRankSEO.com.
All right, we are back here on the Forbes Sports Money Podcast. I'm Anthony Damaro. Once again, you can follow me at Anthony Damaro on Twitter. It's a fun thing to do. Don't forget to follow at Forbes Podcast as well and at Sports Money Blog. Again, go on over to Forbes.com/sportsmoney and follow all the articles leading up to the draft. Listen, you're going to have a lot of content to go over anyway. So with that being said, you should get all just a different perspective. And that's what Forbes Sports Money, too. They take a money angle on things. Just a different perspective. Very, very good content. You'll see my stuff on there at least 5 times a month. And that is where you can go to find more stuff. If you don't have your fill of me yapping away on sportsrants.com, you can go over to Forbes.com/sportsmoney or simply go to my Twitter bio. I have a link to all my articles on Forbes. And listen, folks, this is a great time of year, like I said. This is an NFL draft edition. And I got to say, I'm very, very excited because now it's one of my favorite times of the show. I only have time to get to a few questions. So here is the rules of how this goes. If you ask me a good question, I will get to it. If it's just a generic, boring question I can't elaborate on, I will not get to it. There is a high likelihood and probability that I will butcher your name some way, shape, or form. Hell, look at my name. It's Damaro. You know how many times people have mispronunciated my name? So I know the pain. It's not intentional. If you have anything vulgar in your profile is vulgar at all, it will just be skipped over. So don't even bother. If I do not get to your question this week, most of you people out there know that I will get to it eventually. So keep submitting every single week. I know we were on a Wednesday schedule before. We did not air a show last week. I try to get to this every week. If not, I can't get it on Wednesday. I'll push it off to another day. But we are aiming every week to be here every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, you can follow my Twitter at Anthony Damaro to find out how to tune into the show, what we're talking about, and what shows are airing. And you can also go over to sportsrants.com. We have a live stream on our activity page that has all of the prior episodes. And you can go over to blogtalkradio.com/sportsrants, and you can find all archives of old episodes and this one as well. And of course, if you are catching this right now and you're saying to yourself, hey, Anthony, how can I catch your entire first round mock draft or go over it? Don't worry. Use the same link that you're tuning into right now. It works as an archive as well. So even a couple hours after we air, you can use that same link that I was posting on my Twitter feed and at Forbes Podcast Twitter feed has been posting as well to listen to the show. We'll post it as well on Forbes Podcast a little later today. All right. Here's some questions here. HGA Works asks, injuries to key superstars in the Western Conference playoffs. Does this give the Spurs a cakewalk to another crown? I don't believe it's a cakewalk because I still think Golden State can be a viable threat to them even without Steph Curry. But here's the shocking thing. I picked the Spurs all the way anyway. I know there's no shunning on Golden State. I just think the ultimate bugaboo to a team like Golden State is San Antonio. So I'm just going to assume Steph Curry is going to be available for that series. He is. I think it's a type of injury and the importance of that series. Should it shake out that way, Steph Curry will be prepared for that. And I just don't know. I just don't like the matchup for the Warriors on that. I'm not being a Warriors hater. I would love to see them have that magical historic season. But I think the Spurs, let's face it, they're having their own magical historic season and no one talks about them yet again. It's the same old, same old. And I think they're going to end up there at the end of the day. You know, another championship run is in them. And I think a Spurs-Cavs matchup is going to be the finals But in this cake, nothing's a cakewalk in the Western Conference. I think the Warriors are definitely going to give them a fight for their money, especially if Curry's there. I could see it going seven games without Curry. Maybe six games, but certainly not a cakewalk, so to speak. All right, MSUPO1 asks, think that the third pick in the 2016 NFL draft will be traded? It's likely. I mean, the Chargers could be a team that a lot of people are targeting to kind of trade down. And I think the Chargers, if you paid attention to my mock draft, Laremy Tunsil could tumble down a couple of spots, and they could still address the offensive line, even if they get out of the top 10 picks. But I think, what are you giving up to get in that spot, and who are you taking? If the pick is Jalen Ramsey, you know, who trades up? Who trades up for that? And seriously, I think Jalen, if you're trading up with the San Diego Chargers, I don't think it's to take offensive line. I think it's to take Jalen Ramsey or to take Miles Jack. So which teams are willing to trade up for that? You're going to be paying a bounty as well. So do I think it's like, I think they're a likely team to be interested in making a trade down, but I just don't think a team is going to make that leap to the third overall pick. Because I don't think there's a clear-cut player right there you're trading. We knew when the Eagles traded up. We knew when the Rams traded up. They're trading up for quarterback. Quarterback, definitely. Who are you moving up to number three for? Is it clearly Ramsey? I would think it would be. Or is it Miles Jack? There's a lot of questions right there. Without the clarity, I can't answer that. I think definitely the Chargers are a team in that top five remaining that is the most likely to be kind of intrigued in the possibility, in the likelihood, in the opportunity of trading down for additional picks. All right, let's continue. At Jersey Haas asks, who is the most likely to be traded during draft weekend? Mo Wilkerson from the New York Jets or Sam Bradford from the Philadelphia Eagles? I don't think either is, but I think Mo Wilkerson out of the two is the most likely due to Sam Bradford's contract. And you know, Philly might tell him, you know, too bad, shove it, and you're staying put. So with that being said, I think Mo Wilkerson is definitely the prospect here. But seriously, you're trading away for a rental. I don't think Jets fans should get too enamored with the possibility of trading Mo Wilkerson. He's probably going to walk without any compensation because a team, if I'm a team, even if I have a huge need of defensive tackle, if I'm not getting a long-term contract guarantee for Mo Wilkerson and signing that, you're going to be investing a lot of money in him. So you can let it play out on the free agent market. Or you make a trade for a rental. And I don't think any team is going to, you know, let's face it like this. As Jets fans, you're expecting to get in the top 10. If you're expecting to get in the top 15 for Mo Wilkerson, I don't think there's a team there that will be willing to make that trade. And here it is. I think Mo Wilkerson, if you do make that trade without the guarantees of a long-term contract, you're renting him. You're a team on the cusp of a Super Bowl. You're a team that's a player away that is you know, in the rare company of like the Seattle Seahawks are right on the doorstep. The Green Bay Packers are right on the doorstep. The New England Patriots are right on the doorstep. These are teams that I think of that caliber. They have been in the playoffs every year. They've been in the playoffs for the past couple of years. They've been really close to getting to the conference championship, to getting to a Super Bowl, that need that extra push. That's where Mo Wilkerson comes in. I don't think it's wise, prudent, or even smart for a team that is more than one player away, a team that wasn't in the playoffs last year, a team that is picking in the top 10 to make a trade for Mo Wilkerson. Now, it could be argued, hey, the Oakland Raiders, they could be a great trade fit. Absolutely. I could see a team like the Oakland Raiders who is ascending that could take Wilkerson and it could pay huge dividends for them. But then again, how many teams are ascending at the rate that the Oakland Raiders are? Not many. So, and again, do the Raiders want to compromise some of their long-term plans? Getting Mo Wilkerson and signing him the long-term deal, I know they have plenty of cap room, but eventually you're going to have to take care of Derek Carr. You're going to have to eventually take care of Amari Cooper. You're eventually going to have to take care of Khalil Mack on huge deals. These are players you're going to want to take care of. So do you want to invest a long-term contract in Mo Wilkerson that could potentially handcuff you or prevent hurdles for you in contract negotiations or cap space flexibility in the next couple of years when some of your core key players' contracts come up? So that's the question the Raiders are going to have to ask. But in relation to your question, I think it isn't prudent for a team in the top 15, and your expectations are way too high if you're the Jets and you're thinking of a first-round pick for a rental. Now, if Wilkerson agrees to a contract extension and you see that it could fit and it fits in the monies and you got your long-term core players locked up, I could see Wilkerson moving. But does it happen on draft weekend? I don't believe so. And Sam Bradford, no way. Just no way. No way. I wouldn't even justify that idiot with a trade. And you know, trade him to the CFL. Just release him and trade him to the CFL. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Forbes Sports Money Podcast, the NFL Draft Special. I do hope you enjoyed my mock draft. I will be posting my mock draft on Sports Rants NFL tomorrow morning. So if you want to re-listen to my mock draft, simply go to the Forbes Podcast, at Forbes Podcast on Twitter, at Anthony DeMauro on Twitter. We will post links later on with this archive edition, or simply re-listen to this link. Thank you so much for joining me. Join me next week. We'll have the 12th episode of the Forbes Sports Money Podcast. In the meantime, go over to Forbes.com/sportsmoney to get all the intriguing content, a little different edge, a little different perspective, and a lot of quality over several times, dozens of times a day. We are releasing content from all over the sports world, and we're taking a business approach to it as well with money involved. So sports money, your favorite thing. And don't forget to follow them at Sports Money Blog. I'm Anthony DeMauro. This has been the Forbes Sports Money Podcast. Be kind to each other. Enjoy all sports, the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and the NFL draft, and the start of the Major League Baseball season. Be kind to each other, and I'll catch you on the flip side.
So who's a legend in this house? I mean, really? You think you're a legend? All right. It's game time. Let's find out.
I am a legend and legends are legendary. We are the legends and legends are legendary. It's legendary, the city is legendary. We're the overhead legends and we're legendary. You, me, us, we legendary, reppin' the Cap City, cause it's legendary, no competition, and there's no adversaries, cause the 5-1 beat, it's legendary. I'm a legend, there's no question, legendary flow with the legendary presence. We a slam dunk like Jordan in the 90s, it's like where's Waldo, goofy people can't find us. You can't see us, and you can't play us, above the rim, so you dig can't contain us. But these other teams are sleep like a match, you can check out ID, we got the legendary status. I'm a legend, legends are legendary. We are the legends, and legends are legendary. This legendary, the city is legendary. We're the all-band legends, we're legendary. To the L-E-G, to the E-N-D, and we hurting these teams called the EMTs. And from the courtside seat to the VIP, holding down Cap City to the V-I-G. Use the E-Y-E, you can see how we make your chances of winning gold, B-Y-E. And from the A-L-B to the N-Y-C, yeah, we reppin' N-Y, yeah, we D-O-E. Can't stop all games, can't hate no FaceTime. Score from the key, low post on the baseline. Why wait time? Just give it up. Cause by halftime, you wanna give it up. Make it catch your fever like a dose of either. You can either forfeit or endure our heaters. You may got the style, but we got the essence. The whole of the game when you play on the